Good morning. Everything seems kind of subdued in here today. I don't know why. But it's good to be back with you this morning. I want to thank Pastor Josh for preaching for me. Amen. While Serena and I were away, it's always good to get away. And now that we're streaming on Sunday morning, we get to find out what's happening here while we're not here. But there's always one good thing about going on vacation, and not only the part about being gone, okay, is coming home. Yeah. I mean, I say this often. I say, you know, I really missed you guys while I was gone, but do you have any idea what an awesome church we really have? Yeah. No. I don't think you do. I think when you look at probably one of the most important things next to Jesus Christ dying on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins, was the fact that he sent the Holy Spirit. And there are churches today that said that, well, they, you know, that was only for the time of the disciples, and that whole dispensation has passed away, and we would not, you know, that's not true. I believe the Holy Spirit's here now. Amen. And because the Holy Spirit still rules and reigns, if you will, hopefully in our hearts, along with Jesus, along with God. Every Sunday morning when I come to this pulpit, I start actually Sunday night, the week before, just asking God what he wants me to preach, because it's important to me that you hear what you're supposed to hear. Sometimes I'm in the middle of a series and I think I know what we're going to preach, you know, what I'm going to preach, what I'm going to have to say to you, and I work all week long on that. And for some odd reason, this week was a little bit different, and I tried to work all week long on it. And as it was this morning when I got here at 4:30, or was it 5? It was late this morning. I finished the sermon. And then, when I got out here, and just before I got out here, the Lord began to deal with me on surrender. And of course, I'm at this point saying, couldn't you have started dealing with me on surrender last week, the beginning of the week? But I don't have any idea how long this sermon is going to be. It might be 10 minutes, it might be 5 minutes, it might be 25 minutes. I know that after 22 and a half minutes, most people begin to lose focus. So when I preach over 22 minutes and you're sitting there going, that's normal, okay? But I never preach 22 minutes, so you're doing it every week. Anyway, I'm just going to tell you this. The last thing I do when I prepare a sermon is I decide the title, okay? And believe it or not, sometimes deciding the title can be the hardest thing that I have to do. This morning, the Lord gave me this, okay? He gave me Dare to Decide. I didn't think that fit super well, but I made it fit. You know, I put a couple handles here and there throughout the sermon so you'd hear Dare to Decide. But there was a verse that stood out to me this week when I was praying. And it was this one. It was Psalm 9, verse 10. And it said, "And they that know thy name," I'm sorry, I read King James, I don't preach out of it, but I read it. "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." In other words, if we know God's name, and we do, right? We do. We know him. We know him because we have had it stressed to us throughout our whole life that it's important that we have a relationship with the great I Am, with Jehovah. When it says that you know his name, it's that you know his character and who he is, okay? Not that he's Bill or something like that. but that you know his name because you know what he does and how he acts and responds. And then it says, those of us that have put our trust in him, he will in no wise forsake us. Now, you're going to think this is just something that preachers say all the time, but how many of you know this morning that there are reasons to not come to church? There's reasons. I mean, some of us get sick. Some of us, there's something going on, important reasons. And then there's excuses. And those excuses are the thing that I think gets in the way of us making a total surrender to God. A lot of pastors will say things like this. They'll say, well, you know, if you haven't surrendered your money, your tithe to God, then you haven't surrendered to God. And you've all seen the cartoon where the guy is holding his wallet up out of the baptismal tank as he gets baptized. That's probably way too true, by the way. But I think that God wants us to surrender, and I think he wants you to hear that this morning. Out of all the different things that I put together for today and the things I thought were clever, and you don't always think they're clever, but I do think they're clever sometimes. And then when I hear the word surrender, and everything that I've prepared for the morning seems to just go out the window, and I'm just focused on surrender, I start to realize that God does want you to hear about that. And I guess that's what I want to ask you this morning in a non-condemning way, is have you really surrendered? Have you really surrendered, or have you just quit smoking, which is a good idea no matter what, or have you just quit drinking? Have you just laid down the drugs? Are you a pretty good guy, pretty good lady? But really, the only difference in your life is that you don't do some of the things that you used to do. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? I think there's times in our life when God calls us to take inventory, and I usually preach on that probably once a year, but it must be that today is one of those days when he's saying, it's time for you to take inventory. And just look what you have on the inside of you. Look and see if you have really surrendered to me, or if you're just living a life that's a little bit different than the life that you used to live. Are you just, when you pray, do you really pray to me? Do you really seek my face? Or do you just do it because you know you should do it, but really when it comes down to it, if anybody saw you, the only thing different that they see in you is that you don't go to the bar anymore, you don't drink anymore, you don't hang around with people that do. And by the way, if you don't do those things, you better not hang around with people that do, because they will suck you back in. And I don't care if that's your best friend. I don't care if that's somebody that's, I mean, you should be the influence on them, but many times what happens is they influence you more because you have such a desire inside of you to win them to the Lord that you become like them. And then they've won you instead of you winning them. But I guess I just want to ask you that question this morning. Have you really surrendered to the Lord? And what does that mean? Well, I happen to have a dictionary on my phone, okay? And I looked it up. What does surrender mean? It means to give up, abandon, or relinquish something, to yield or resign to something, to give oneself up as into the power of another, to submit or yield. And I guess I had to look at that and go, have I really given myself up? Have I really surrendered? Have I really, you know, have I really done that with God? Have I given him the power in my life to make any decision? And if I read something in the Bible that doesn't really agree with the way I'm living, do I change it so that my life is in line with the Bible, or do I try to figure out some way that it really isn't applicable to today? I think that in God giving me this title for the message, Dare to Decide, I think what he's saying to you this morning is that you need to dare to decide, because it's going to mean a life change. And I don't mean just, maybe the most committed Christian in here is in the same place at a different degree, but we all need to surrender. It's a thing that we do daily. It's not something that we do once and walk away from the surrender. We have to live a life of surrender. Because, you know, I've been a Christian for how long? Almost 40 years. And I still have areas of my life that I have to surrender. I still have things that go on inside of me that shouldn't go on inside of me. And I would think you're the same way, or I'm the worst sinner among you all. You could say something there. See, it's really subdued and quiet in here. See, because God wants you to surrender. God wants you to give up these things in your life that you're fighting against. You're fighting against, well, I don't want to give up this. I don't have to give up that person. I don't have to give up my money to the tithe. I don't have to give up. I don't want this to be about money. But there's so many things. There's so many things in our lives that we learned to do before we got saved, and they don't go away very easy. In fact, they come back, too. They come back, and they keep on hounding you. They keep on, you know, just working against you. David said something. He wrote a lot of psalms, but one psalm that he wrote. He said this in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. What's that mean? You know, iniquities are, I don't know if you've ever wondered why sin is called sin in one place, it's called trespass in another, it's called, you know, iniquity, it's called, what's the other one? Something else. But it's because they mean different things, okay? The iniquities are things that are inbred inside of you. What's that mean? Well, the best way I can think of to explain that is, let's say your dad is an alcoholic and your uncle's an alcoholic and you're on the other side of your family, there's more alcoholics and, you know, that's something that is in you, I'm sorry to say, okay? And so if you go ahead and you start drinking and you start heading down that road, chances are, because that is inside of you, you're going to end up an alcoholic. So David is saying here, he's saying, you know, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. I got a hair ahead of myself. And cleanse me from my sin. There's so much we have to be, that has to be cleaned up. You know, we got those things, those iniquities that are on the inside of us, those transgressions, those things that we do that we shouldn't, those trespasses, we step into an area we shouldn't step into, then sin where we just plain miss the mark. But David is saying here, you know, God, do this for me. I know you've done this for me, but will you do this for me again? You know why he says it in that light, in that context? Because we have to be saying that every day. Come on, people. We have to be saying that every day. Lord, I am sorry. You know, and some people will say, well, you ask for it once. You don't have to ask for it again. Yes, you do. I can prove to you in the Bible that repetition to God is a good thing and a bad thing. When it's vain repetition, it's bad. But when you remind God of what he has done and what he's going to do in your life and those things, it's not a bad thing. When you pray, all right, when you pray, I heard a teaching the other day, intercession is not in the Bible. It is. And the teaching was, well, you know, if you prayed once, you don't have to pray again. Where's your faith? But we have to ask over and over again, because I don't know about you, but I step off the path from time to time. You know, is my stepping off the path the same as yours? No, I'm sure it isn't. Is it as bad as yours? Who knows? Maybe it's worse. But I know, as I know as I know, I have to continue to ask God to cleanse me. And then he says something right in verse 3 that is so important. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You know, when you're in sin, when you're doing something you know you shouldn't do, it's before you all the time. In fact, it's the most before you when you step into church and you hope, well, I hope God doesn't tell so-and-so. You know, we have to dare to decide to follow him. Well, all the persecution, we don't even know what persecution is. Where the dare comes in for us is, are we going to dare let go of those things in our life? Are we going to dare to really get rid of all this stuff in our life? People will think we're crazy. I mean, you gotta not be thinking about what people are going to think. People are important, but I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes right down to it, we have to dare to decide what's going to be pleasing to him. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we may neglect is saying to God, you know, what do you want me to do? What's in my life that you don't like? What's keeping me from knowing you more? Are you with me this morning? But we have to acknowledge our transgressions, our sin, our iniquities, our trespass, all these things. Then he says something that is so important in verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight. When it comes down to it, when you sin, you're sinning against God. You know, Pastor, you shouldn't talk about sin. That doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel good either. When I go to church, I want to be encouraged and walk out going, oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you can. So do it. So do it. I think there's so many areas in Christians' lives that aren't surrendered. And let me turn to another scripture. If I can remember where it is. Here it is. This is probably one of the most encouraging scriptures. And we quote it all the time, but it starts off with a two-letter word that changes the whole thing. And that two-letter word is if. Okay? And God says this. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, that'd be you and I, okay, shall humble themselves and pray, saying, hey, we can't do it, right? That's one of the biggest points of humility that we will come to, is admitting that. But shall humble themselves and pray, and I don't know why praying is such a hard thing for Christians to do. And I'm going to make that almost a blanket statement. I mean, there's some that pray, and I know. But experience also shows me that probably the majority of Christians don't take the time. If that touches you this morning, let that touch you. But he says, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. He says, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. There has never been a time in the history of the United States when we've needed our land healed more than it is right now. And we have a promise right here in the Bible that if we do this, if we, being the people of God, shall humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear us, period. And he will answer us. The next verse, it isn't quoted often, it says, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Would to God that we could be at the place where we knew that the prayer that we prayed that God would hear. Is Brittany the only one here today? I'm serious. I mean, God hears our prayers. I have no doubt about that. But have we turned from our wicked ways? Because that's the prerequisite for us to get the healing of our land that we need so desperately. I mean, I think we can all seek his face, or do we not know what that means? That doesn't mean just pray once in a while, read his word once in a while. That means seek him, like he's a lost treasure, like he's something you want to find. You know, I'm convinced that as often as you read the word of God, if you would just say to God, say to the Holy Spirit, show me something in the word today that will change my heart, change my life, I believe he'll do it. But we have to dare to decide to surrender. If I was to have an altar call right now, okay, and you were to be really honest, usually I have to ask people to all close their eyes to be honest, okay? So everyone close their eyes, okay? If you were to be really honest this morning, and if I were to have an altar call right now, which I'm not, but and if the altar call called for you to surrender because there's areas in your life you know that aren't surrendered, how many of you would have to come to the altar this morning? Yeah. So I think it's important that we understand and realize that we're here this morning. I'm doing something that I'm not super comfortable with, and that is preaching off from my notes or away from my notes. And maybe, God knew, do you suppose, that I would be here this morning and that I needed to hear this. And could it be that I should go home and keep this idea of surrender in my head, especially if you can't think of anything you need to surrender, because I'm going to tell you right now, there is things that you need to surrender. Verse 5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, just like all of us, right? Just like all, he's saying I'm like everybody else. But then he says, but you desire truth in the inward parts. You desire truth in here. You desire me to be honest at least with myself and with you. Because when you're honest with yourself and you're honest with God, that's when change starts to happen. That's when you begin to see the things and you begin to have the ability to make those changes happen. And by that, maybe you have a terrible tendency to gossip. You know, that's fun. But it's not right. Maybe you have a real tendency to look at pornography. That's not right. But you have a real tendency to do that. Or any other thing that you shouldn't be doing. And I don't want to make this about you should be, you shouldn't be, but every single one of you, whether you raised your hand or not, knows there is something in your heart that needs to change. Because you know what I found out in serving God these last 40 years is when he tells me to change something, I stop at that point until I change it. If I ask God to speak to me about something and he speaks to me about it, he's done speaking to me until I do that thing. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I'm not in this Christian thing just to make a living, right? I'm in this to please God. I want to be surrendered. I want to be at the place where I am truthful in my inward parts with myself and with God. And when I read this word, that I take that word and go, oh my, I need to fix this. And thank God he doesn't show us everything that needs to be fixed all at one time. Because if he did, you'd be so overwhelmed you wouldn't know where to start. So if you're visiting with us today, normally we do a lot more churchy type stuff, you know. I was thinking today, you know, I can almost set my watch by what happens in service, okay? I can almost set my watch to know what time worship is going to be done. I can almost set my watch to know what time the announcements are going to be done. And I can set my watch by what time I get done preaching, because I don't pay attention to the 22-minute thing, if you haven't noticed. What would happen if I would have come up here this morning? And by the way, you can look at this, and you can y'all see that real good? Okay. Well, not now. Ha. All right. This is what I wrote for today. Okay? So I was prepared. And I was thinking about coming up here and saying this. What would you do right now if you found out that I didn't write a sermon for this morning? You'd probably go, you know, that's his job, man. And then I was thinking of saying, because I didn't. Are you going to be all right? You know, are you going to be all right? If you lacked the feeding, and it's important, I'm not trying to discount that you would have gotten on a Sunday morning, would you have been all right? Because you're seeking the Lord. Or is Sunday morning the only time that you find that you have the Word of God put in you? I mean, what if Pastor Josh went to play his keyboard and it didn't? And Byron went to strum his guitar and all the strings broke? And what if Azariah went to play drums and they all just went thud? And we went right to the sermon, and the sermon was, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't do anything for you this morning. Would you be all right? You know, would you be all right? Would you be able to get through that, or would you decide to go to the church down the road next week? Because the church down the road always has a worship sermon, announcements and sermon. You see, there's times when we plan what we're going to do, and I think we have to plan. There's no doubt about that. That's the only way certain things get done. And we have to plan. But are you so surrendered to God that you can go outside of that and still be all right? Do you understand what I'm trying to ask you here this morning? Is the time that you spend away from here, like, is Sunday morning the only time that you sing? Is Sunday morning the only time that you read the Bible from up there? Then I guess you'd have to ask yourself, you know, how surrendered am I really? Because that's where it all starts. I don't want a church, or I don't even want to go to a church that isn't open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And hopefully you understand that there might be one person today that needs to hear this, and one only. But God will stop everything to talk to that one person. And are you mature enough? Do you seek God enough to be able to say, that's okay? That's why I wanted to talk to you, Gary. No, not that. You know what happens to pastors on Monday morning? Monday mornings are hell. They're bad. I don't care how great everything went Sunday. I don't care how wonderful, how full the altar's got. It's not full enough come Monday. And whatever you preach was not good enough come Monday. And the enemy is very quick to remind you of things you said, to remind you of words you stumbled over, to to remind you of everything that you did wrong. So y'all pray for me tomorrow. I mean, I like to preach, you know, these 3 points, these 4 points. I like to do that. I think people learn that way. I hope they learn that way. I like to do things in order. I'm probably the only pilot around that likes to do the checklist, you know? I guess what I want to really ask you this morning is when you walk out of here this morning, are you going to say, well, that was nice, or are you going to say to yourself quietly so as not to be offensive, are you going to say, God, where am I not being truthful in my inward parts? Where am I not being truthful with you, and where am I not being truthful with myself? See, and again, if you can't be truthful with yourself, you'll never change. You'll never grow. We were going to talk about peace. And long-suffering and gentleness and kindness this morning. And how they were, or they are, part of the arsenal or weaponry that the Lord has given us to fight against the strongholds of the enemy. But I can't help but think this morning, and if there's even one, you know, that this is important. The first one to say surrender was Gary in my office. And he said surrender, and I went, oh no. So I tried to surrender. Anyway, the second time I heard it, I think Josh said it, Pastor Josh said it during worship. And I'm going, oh, okay. And it's important to me to have a good message. All right? It's important. It's important to me to work it all out ahead of time so they don't say a word that doesn't belong in that spot. Amen? But it's more important to me to do what God asked me to do. And I believe I just did what God has asked me to do. So if there is an area in your life that you need to surrender in, it's usually, it ends up being an area that you've been dealt with time and time again. And you make progress, but then you fall back. And the reason for that is you haven't really made a decision to surrender it. So can you this morning dare to decide to surrender that thing? Can you really, and one thing I don't want to have happen is this be one of those Sunday mornings when, oh, you're going to make this big commitment to God, but you walk out that door, you've had a cupcake and a little bit of chips and stuff, and you don't even remember. And you don't remember the message. And I know that's true because I forget what the message is sometimes, okay? And I tell it. I give it. I want this to be a day when you can say, you know, this is a benchmark day. This is a day where everything changed. Because when you start change, it's like a mountain that's starting to fall down, you know what I'm saying? Or a snowball coming down a mountain. And it's getting bigger and bigger. You start giving up more things and more things and more things. And what you have to understand is that every time you give something up, God gives something to you. Oh, that's really neat, Wes. That's spooky. It must be God. I don't believe if it's spooky, it's God. I also don't believe that just by saying a few choice words, it's going to make any difference in your life. I only believe that this will change your life right here. But would you dare to decide this morning to surrender? Would you dare to decide to move a little bit closer to the Lord? See, when you move, He moves. That ought to make you happy this morning. When you move, He moves. You get closer, he comes closer. But would you dare to decide to let go of that thing that's in your life that's keeping you from moving forward? Stand with me, please. And this time I am having an altar call. Okay. This time, see, I kind of cheated because I saw your hands before I'm asking you to come forward, so I know a lot of you should come forward. Okay. But no matter how small it is, no matter how big it is, can you dare to decide to surrender today? No matter what that area is. And the altar's open. If that's you, if that's any one of you, I want you to come to the altar. I don't have to hear what it is, but God has to hear what it is. God is saying, let's have some truth in the inward parts, okay? Let's have some truth in here so we can get some good things going out here. So again, if any of you would dare to surrender, the altar's open. If you, I'll say this. I guess there's no other way to say it. I'm going to go to the altar so you can all look at my backside or you can join me.